Let's go ahead and open our Bibles tonight, going back into the 12th chapter of Romans. And thanks be to God, we left off last week just touching upon those first two most incredible verses of what, again, the Lord is so ready and able to work in our lives. And thanking God from all of the encouragement that we've had in the prior 11 chapters that bring us to this point, that we know that as Christians, as ones that have accepted Christ Jesus as Savior, Christ liveth in you. Amen. And I thank God that the very life of Christ lives in me. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I thank God that life that I had before Christ is dead. That life, that person, that man is dead. The old man is dead. And I thank God we are a new creation. I thank the Lord it is that Christ, the Word of God, hallelujah, is alive and living in us. And as the Word of God says, we feed that life. And how wonderfully that God, in His provision, in His purpose, in His plan, and as so encouraged through that 8th chapter by His Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to give us and feed us and take us into, yea, the deep things of God. And thanking the Lord that we know that when we accept Christ as Savior, it says we are heirs of God. But it goes on into saying that we are joint heirs together with Jesus Christ, if so be that we suffer together with him, that we might be glorified together. What an invitation. What a full setting that God has prepared for us to go after him. And brothers and sisters, as we sit here tonight, and there's people from all walks of life, there's all ages, all of these exciting opportunities. I know many kids are going back to school, some are starting college, continuing on. Maybe there's new jobs, maybe there's new relationships, all of these different things. Do not lose sight of what this is all about. Don't. Praise be to God, brothers and sisters. This word is true. There's going to be a trump. There's going to be a cry of the archangel. It's going to be a calling, hallelujah. And those that are alive, those that are looking and loving his appearing, praise be to God, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, they'll be face to face with the bridegroom. I thank God for these things. This is our precious word. It's right there. God has revealed these things through his prophets. And I thank God that again, through Brother Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, this has been made known to us. So let's go ahead and read verses 1 and 2 again of chapter 12. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, all I can say is praise be to God. I thank him so much, brothers and sisters, that we do not have to be imprisoned with the mind of this world. Aren't you grateful to God for that? Aren't you thankful that whom he has made free is free indeed? Aren't you thankful for the liberty of Christ? Aren't you grateful for the grace of God? And brothers and sisters, to truly understand this, our reality in the Word of God is we are not imprisoned. We are free. We are free. We are new creation. We are, praise be to God, in the realm of grace and nothing but. But if we are acting like we are imprisoned, praise be to God, it's just a lie. That's not who we are in Christ. Well, I'll tell you, I tell people about that. You have them read Romans and read through it and understand very clearly that the life that lives in us is nothing but Jesus Christ. That we are new creation, that we are in this realm of grace, and yet even reading it, without again hearing that word and believing that word, all of that grace is there so powerfully and effectually to work in your life. But if it's refused, it's just words that come across your ears, as opposed to words that are heard and change the heart. Thank him tonight for that transforming power. Now, brothers and sisters, this precious Romans has assured us that we are now new creation through Christ, that our realm is grace, and we merely need to believe and live the empowering of the Holy Ghost. As it says there, be ye transformed. It doesn't say get transformed or work at being transformed. It says to be. Be ye transformed. That's who God has made you. That's who God, praise the Lord, in the life of his Son that lives in you. That's there. Hallelujah. And by the completely renovating our mind, the very mind of Christ, the Word of God, which is our life, praise be to God, that's when we yield to him and we respond. But see, brothers and sisters, without being fed the Word of God and continually being fed the Word of God and hearing the truth, and truth that's rightfully divided, that precious reality of the transformed one, the one that's readied to grow and to abound from glory to glory into his very image, it doesn't happen. Faith, praise the Lord, is what pleases God. Faith, praise the Lord, is what by grace is the increase in our life that causes the Word of God, hallelujah, to work effectually in us. But there will never be faith. There will never be a growth of faith. There will never be more growth in the knowledge of the Scriptures or in believing the Scriptures without hearing the Word of God. Just be like trying to feed your own, try to grow muscle on your body or things of that nature, and yet you're going to starve yourself. It couldn't work. The body has to be fed. How much more so a child of God? That life has to be fed. And I love this word transformed. I do want to touch on it one more time before we move on. That word transformed, be ye transformed, means be made the very brightness of him. The very brightness of him. This isn't speaking of here, brothers and sisters, a reflection of the moon. But praise be to God as the Word of God encourages us, sun glory. The Word of God continues to tell us and encourage us along to be filled with all the fullness of God. That Christ in you is the hope of glory. And that is the wife. That is the bride adorned. As it says in Revelation, there's New Jerusalem, that bride adorned, descending from heaven, having the glory of God. That is the very brightness of him. Now we can be encouraged that she is that four living one company in Revelation 4. And yes, we're moving along in this. But the reason I bring that out, again by the Holy Ghost, is those are the ones, that is the company that is like him. That is the company that is in the brightness of him. That full glory. That is why that is the company that takes the seat in the midst of the throne with him. Whereas no other company takes that glorified together place with him of jointly ruling and reigning. And that is, as it finishes here, verse 2, that is the perfect will of God. That is the complete will of God. That is the absolute entirety of the perfect and complete will of God, that his son will have his wife. And praise be to God, he has given everything to us. And at this time, to be in that precious calling, to be in that precious bridal company. And we thank God that especially through Brother Paul, in Ephesians, in Philippians, in Colossians, it opens up that to us. We understand that invitation. We understand that there is a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I thank the Lord for those things. We understand that the Gentiles, saved ones, should now be fellow heirs, sunk chloronymous, as it says there in the Greek, joint heirs as husband and wife with Jesus Christ. That's what's in the offering to us. That is what he wants to for us to grow up into him in all things. And praise be to God, even in Romans as well too, as we've been reading, the tribulation is waiting for the completion of one thing, and that is that the bride is taken. The tribulation will not come forth until, as the word of God says, that he who hinders is taken out of the way. And hinders isn't a bad thing in a sense. It's a wonderful thing to this world because that means that there still is the grace that enables to get ready to be his wife. But when she's taken, that time shall be no more. That moment, that precious moment of that calling and that chosen company, it will be fulfilled. It will be complete. And as we've read in Romans about that, and even in the last chapter, how God so sweetly has encouraged us in this high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The king must have his queen, and then the judgment will begin. Now let's go on and read verses 3 through 8. And it says there in 3 through 8, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth, on teaching, or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness." How sweet. Do you see, brothers and sisters, that, you know, a lot of folks will say, well, this is what we're striving towards. This isn't what we strive towards. This is Christ in you. This is his life. This is the life of Christ. This is not what Jesus would do. This is what Jesus does. This is who he is. This is the life that lives in us. As we yield to God and the word of God, this naturally happens. It's like being human. I don't try to be human. As I feed this life and I grow and I understand and get educated and all those things that a human can do, I become, I guess, in a sense, more apt and experienced in all of this just growing up as a human being. How much more so as a child and a son of God? That's how perfect this is. That's how perfect he is and what he wants for our lives. But as it starts out here in verse 3, notice that Paul, it's grace alone that Paul is speaking to us about humility. And right off the bat, if you want to get close to God, there's one way. It's called grace. And the word of God tells us very clearly, he giveth grace to the humble. When we're stiff-necked, when we're proud, when we think we're something, when we think we have done something, let me tell you something, that is the most putrid thing to God. These people running around casting judgment on others who have failed greatly, and I'm talking about oftentimes criminals, liars, all of those different ones, and you get some high and mighty person saying, well, that's just horrible, and if they're going to heaven, I wouldn't want to go to heaven, and if they're that, let me tell you something. The person saying that type of thing is more putrid than the act of the criminal to God. Do you understand that? Man can't understand that, but the word of God preaches that very, very clearly. The filthy rags to God is man's self-righteousness. Do we understand that he would not have freely given his son to go through the things that he did, freely given his son, the lamb, the only perfect one, beaten, abused, torn, ridiculed, mocked. His visage, his body was more marred than any man's. You couldn't recognize him. When he was upon that cross, he wasn't some beautiful man as they proposed to be in these movies. He looked like a piece of raw meat. But the most beautiful lamb. And then from that to being made sin for you. The Father having to turn away. The Son, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, I'm going to ask you again, what do you think the most putrid thing to God would be? He came to save the lost. He came to help the needy, the ones that see the need. Doesn't sit well with a lot of folks, does it? No. Because we always are battling this flesh that somehow wants to be patted on the back. Oh man, you did really great. He must increase and I must decrease. Huh? And that's not in some self-righteous sense. That's just in the most beautiful thing there is. That's what this is all about. That's the life that lives in every single one of us who are Christians. Oh, I talk to people every day. Well, everybody's God's child. No, they're not. Jesus Christ said, I pray for those whom the Father has given me. I pray not for the world. Jesus said that? Yeah, he did. You better know it. Hell was made originally. It was made for those angels that decided to follow Lucifer right on out of heaven. But God knew what would be. And let me tell you something, it's going to be a very full place. There is but one way. As the Word of God says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He's God. He is God. Yes, wonderful. And he's going to magnify one thing, and that is his Son. And if you can't figure out in some way, shape, or form that him allowing his Son to be put upon that cross and to become sin, that isn't the one he's going to magnify, I feel sorry for you because you've missed it. You've missed the beauty of life, the beauty of breath, to praise the forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God endureth forever. Hallelujah. All right. So, we understand, as Paul brings this out, and again, it's by the Holy Ghost, we should not think more highly of ourselves than we ought. And how highly is that? How about complete lowliness? That's how highly we should think of ourselves. A life that breathes. How about this? But for the grace of God, there go I. And as the Word of God says here, to think soberly. And soberly means with wisdom and thankfulness. You want to be sober? Get thankful. I mean real thankful. That's the evidence of faith. That's the evidence, praise God, of knowing how undeserved his love is. But how thankful, praise God, that we know that anything good, anything profitable for us is all by the grace of God. And as he goes on to say, as God has given the perfect measure. Listen to that, the perfect measure. Now, brothers and sisters, rightfully dividing that, that means he has made a perfect vessel. Every part of the body, praise God, is a perfect vessel. Isn't that wonderful? Now, don't you go looking around the church, because I can't see it in you, and you can't see it in me. But I know it's there by faith, because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Now, that's what's so wonderful about this. And he made each part of the body so perfectly. And he knows where we fit in that body. And as it goes on here to say, and I won't belabor this point, but each one of us is given and is truly a gift for the body. Each one of us is. We've been gifted for it. We've been given it. But remember what the gift is. The gift is Christ in you. Amen. And God is going to have that purpose of what your life is, in a sense. We know that it's to the praise of the glory of his grace. But all of that, again, and all we do in that body is just the after effect of what God, again, has given us in the life of his Son. And remember this, too, that the gifts are for the body. The gifts are for the edifying of the body. A lot of times you see people that may have a gift, but you can see them magnifying themselves. God help us. We don't want to do that. We want to be transparent by God's grace to magnify the only one that should be magnified, and that's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And how precious are all the vessels to him, as he brings out here. Every joint, every body part is vital. We'll go to a scripture here in a minute, but to emphasize, truly the less comely parts are the ones that are the most beautiful to God, the ones that are unthought of by most, even of the body of Christ a lot of times. They're the ones that are most precious to God. I think he showed us that even in a dad that loved his sons very much. When Samuel was told that the Lord had chosen another king than Saul, and he went to Jesse, and Jesse brought forth his sons before him. And Jesse was a man that loved the Lord, and Samuel, a man that loved the Lord. And there they were, you know, looking at these ones as these sons came by. And, oh, my goodness, you know, here comes the oldest one. Oh, it's got to be that one because he's the oldest. And, well, it wasn't that one. Well, it's the second one. He was a little bit more handsome. Oh, it could have been the third one. He was just a little taller, and so on and so on. And then finally, you know, Samuel's thinking, my goodness, I think I heard the Lord right. He told me to come to you. Do you got any more sons? And Jesse even forgot about that one. I do have the runt of the litter. Huh? I got to go get him. I just throw him out there with the sheep. How wondrous. How beautiful. The forgotten one. That's God's choice. Amen? Amen. Praise God. His eye knows. Hallelujah. See, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Be satisfied with that. Don't let the enemy try to stroke your ego and thinking, oh, I need to make a mark. I need to be seen. Let me tell you something. He sees the widow's mite. He's touched by the woman that's pressing through the crowd that reached out and touched his garment. And he said, who touched me? Who touched me? And as all those disciples with him thinking, my goodness, what do you mean who touched you? Look at all these people touching you. Oh, no, no, no. There was one who touched me. There was one who, virtue just came out of me. You think he knows your heart? Settle in that. That's the glory. That's the prize. That's what's so beautiful. It's Christ in you. Oh, what an understatement to be satisfied. Thrill in it. But yet, that's all he says. Just be satisfied. Listen to him, how he speaks of himself. The highest of the high became the less of the least. Oh, how he became poor for our sakes. So what this is encouraging us in is to condescend to men of low estate. To each body part, submit one to another as unto the Lord. This isn't something we're doing out of duty. This is all out of love. I always appreciated Brother Hill mentioning those mountain goats, and I did see that before in the pictures of it. You up in those high passes where those little craggy ways up in the mountains are only about this big, and for one of them to go through there is a feat. But then what happens sometimes is there'll be two coming and converging on the same path, and there's no way the one can go around the other. It's either you'd think, well, here they go, they're going to fight, and they're probably going to both fall off, and that's what would probably happen. But what happens even instinctually because of their, praise God, given to us as an example. Isn't that wonderful, the creation that he's given us? But then again, brothers and sisters, don't you ever dare worship creation. You worship the Creator. Don't ever worship it. There's people that worship trees and the air and the water and this planet and the universe and the stars and all of that. And then what they're really doing is just worshiping themselves and their ego. Worship your Creator. Period. All right. But you'll see those sheep, they'll get down. One will lay down and the other will walk right on top of it. Praise be to God. I don't know, I've never seen the movie of it, but I wonder if they're fighting, if they just lay there for a while. No, I'm getting down. No, I'm getting down. Not like any of us, huh? Oh, you get down and I'll just roar right over you. Huh? All right. But if we want to go to the heights, the only way you get there is you got to go to the depth. He must increase and I must decrease, and praise be to God, then we will soar. But look at that fifth verse there. It says, So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Now, I want us to think of our own temporal bodies, and let's go over and read the best example of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And the Lord is using our own natural bodies to tell us about the precious body of Christ, whom our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the head. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll go to verse 12, and let's read of this. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Boy, he's really encouraging us. It's one, isn't it? The unity of the Spirit, the bond of perfectness, the bond of peace. It's all the oneness in Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. We are one in Christ. Praise God. He tells us this many times, many ways, doesn't he? Because he knows how frail we are. We're always going to try to divvy up, take sides. Well, I'm from this side of the track. You're from that. I'm from this nationality. I'm from that. Huh? That's what man does. Man will continue to try to carve that up. But remember, it's not flesh and blood. It's just spiritual wickedness. The enemy knows exactly what he's doing. Done it every day since day one. But again, he's allowed by God to do it. All right. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Greek, or Gentiles, whether bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, now listen to this, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? It's kind of funny. If the whole assembly was the preacher, who would sit in the pew? Did I say that? All right, sorry. Must have been somebody else. If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. Isn't that something? As it has pleased him. Think about man. Man's got to get a council. Man's got to get a board. Huh? We saw what man could do, even God's choice man when Israel. Well, we need a king. Well, first of all, God told him, well, you don't need a king. You got me. Oh, we want to be like everybody else. That's a bad sign. Huh? Wide is the way to destruction, right? So see, again, that's kind of trying to cut a deal. Well, we'll compromise a little bit. Okay, we'll go ahead and do a king. And God, we're going to go ahead and pick him. Well, they couldn't even agree on how they were going to pick him. Well, we'll finally agree. We'll just take the tallest one. Aye, aye, aye. Very interesting. It's something. And no knock on the taller ones, because I'm not a taller one. But isn't it amazing? I mean, I think you're far more likely to be our president if you're over 6 foot. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. All right. Whew, where did that one go? All righty. So, it says here, and if they were all one member, where were the body? Back in 19. But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. You can see how, I mean, the Lord, you see him even kind of laughing and smiling as he's saying this. This is how you all act. Come on, you know that. Well, we don't have need of the feet. I'm going to walk on my ankles. It's the truth. Yes, and I'm going to see with my elbow, you know, lock that man up. Well, this is when we get, as you see, how confused our mind is and what a nut we can be. Nay, much more, these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. Isn't that something? Praise the Lord. I always would think of how, you know, when you've got a wound, and I'll tell you, I got an ache in my body tonight, and man, you take care of that thing. And then you try to take care of it and see it doesn't do right, and then it throws everything else out. You know, you see what I'm saying? You need to get that thing healed, or it all hurts. And it kind of all hurts when just one thing hurts, when you love the body. And it's amazing. You pretty much, you know, you have an infection, you have a hurt in your body, you take care of it. How are we as the people of God? Throw them out. Let's get them out of here. They're not worth the time. Let me tell you something. If there's a tenderness for the things of God, don't miss that opportunity. Don't miss that opportunity. Ye that are spiritual, restore such a one. Isn't that wonderful? Okay, 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Isn't that precious? Spends a lot of time with those that have a lot of need. Like he said to that woman, well, I guess it's the one who's been forgiven the most. Huh? Well, I'm glad he's forgiven me the most. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? That there should be no schism, see, no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care. Listen to this, that the members of the body should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Isn't that precious? Don't be envious one another. God allows something in somebody's life to be something that is, in a sense, even naturally speaking, good. Somebody gets a job, somebody has a relationship, they have a child or something of that nature. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. How wonderful it is for the body to the glory of Christ. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, prophets, thirdly teachers, after the miracles then given of the healings, helps, government, diversities of tongues. Are ye all apostles? Are ye all prophets? Are ye all teachers? Are ye all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covest earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. How wonderful God encourages us in this. But you see, again, how ridiculous it is if I stood up here and I was going to have a battle of my fingers or something like that. Okay, they're going to fight. Or, you know, it doesn't make any sense. And God is using that as an example to show us how much more so does it not make sense when we fight within the body of Christ. Now, we stand for the truth. Amen. But we stand in love, brothers and sisters, and that's what wins hearts and wins souls. We understand as well, too, if there's not going to be fellowship with that truth, you do. As Brother Paul, he said to those Galatians, they were going on with the depths of the gospel of Christ. They were hearing the deep things of God. And he said to them, who hath bewitched you? What happened, guys? I mean, we were really rejoicing in the deep things of God. And it wasn't something to laugh about at all. He said, how, so soon you turn from these things. So quickly it happened. He was concerned. He was hurt. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't say, well, the heck with you, I'm out of here. Losers. Sinners. No, because that wouldn't have been the truth. They're children of God. They're just deceived. They're blinded. Believing a lie. Because they weren't feasting on the word of God. And Paul, by the grace of God, was encouraged to continue to give them the word of God. Now, at the same time, if in Paul's ministry, this had happened too. He wanted to continue to preach to other places as well too. But you know, God would tell him to pass by certain cities. He knew that those ones wouldn't receive the word of God. And Paul, praise the Lord, he knew to redeem the time. And he wanted to be with those that wanted the whole counsel of God. He wanted to be with those that wanted to win Christ as bridegroom. Praise the Lord. He wanted, as the Lord put in his heart and is for our day, for people to grow up in Christ. Wonderful for people to get saved, but that's just the very beginning. The whole purpose of it is to grow up into him in all things. So we thank God for this encouragement, brothers and sisters, and how wonderful that the body parts edify the body, the joints supply one another, as truth in love comes from the head. And that's what we need to understand in that. Now let's go on to verse 9. We'll move along here. In verse 9 of Romans 12, it says, let love be without dissimulation. That means let it be there without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Now, this is speaking of here the very mature love. It's called agape love. This is the full overcomer love. This is the love that there is no difference to any saint. And I thank God for that love. This is the very love of Christ. And the evidence of this love, brothers and sisters, will want and yearn for people to come to a full knowledge of the truth. That's this love. This is the very agape love. This is the divine love of Brother Paul, who stood in defense of the gospel of Christ. This is the precious brother who, again, would not hold back preaching the full counsel of God. He said, I withheld nothing from you. He wasn't picking and choosing what to preach. He just preached the word. And that's what he encouraged Timothy in. He was very thankful how God had encouraged his life to preach to all to win Christ best. It didn't matter how someone rubbed his life. It didn't matter, again, how he may have rubbed somebody else's life. It didn't matter about differences of opinions. It didn't matter about upbringings, brothers and sisters. If it's not the same love that the Father has for all the children of God, you miss God's best. You did. You want people to have his best. That's it. You love souls. It's not the actions we're looking at, brothers and sisters. It's the potential of what the grace and glory doctrine can do in a life. And you preach that, and you encourage that in people's lives. I understand very clearly, we might have more in common. You might have different ones that you might spend a little bit more time with. But the love should be no different to anyone in the body. And I pray, God, that we really understand that. When we isolate ourselves off from folks that are of the body of Christ, not over the gospel. I'm talking now, if there's a difference in the gospel and ones don't want to go on with the truth, there has to be a separation there. Even the Word of God tells us that, to distance ourselves from a vessel that wouldn't want to be yielding, in a sense, to the whole counsel of God in that regard of that type of fellowship. That's why the Lord encourages us with like precious faith fellowship. That's why the Lord encourages us in the Word of God, be not unequally yoked together. He wants us with people and encouraging people, first and foremost, again, that are Christians. We understand that. But secondly, a lot of times, brothers and sisters, we can befriend and our best friends might be Christians, but they really don't want to have anything to do with the truth. What is that really doing for your life? And if you know that that life isn't really moving on, brothers and sisters, you need to allow him to take that ship, your ship, and go. Just like with Rebecca, it was so evident. She loved her family, but she wasn't going to stay back with the family. She wanted that bridegroom. She wanted that wonderful, the prince, his hand in marriage. And she said, I will go. Leaving, separating herself, in a sense, it was the word that did it, but she said, I will go. And these are the things we need to take from this, brothers and sisters. It's very clear that God, again, this is the love that he's given us. But for the body of Christ, it can't be us four and no more. I thank God how he protects us in these things, brothers and sisters. Not just showing ourselves friendly. You want people to win God's best. Take time for them. Take time to fellowship with folks. And again, we're just so thankful, again, for that love that he's put in our hearts. It goes on to say, abhor, and that's pretty straightforward. We abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. That's why the mind of Christ, the helmet of salvation, that's why the very word of God, being fed that word, is so vital to us. And especially in these verses about abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, and thinking about our minds, and again, the helmet of salvation that protects our minds, protect the truth in your life. Protect the truth. And what I'm getting at here, and what the Lord put on my heart, if you think about the Word of God, failures of people, indiscretions that people did or made in the Word of God, there was never a failure, there was never an indiscretion that was too great to overcome to win God's best. Amen. It was wonderful. Praise the Lord. I mean, we're talking murders and adultery. We're talking lots of bad stuff, but praise the Lord, he showed that he's faithful. And he's faithful to his word, and we're thankful to God that one of the magnificent testimonies of that was Brother David, King David in the word of God. You know, there was the man that God said, this is the man after mine own heart. And he was the man that went out there and took a woman who was already married, brought her in, committed adultery, fornicated, whatever all of the other things you want to put in there. And then she had a wonderful, sweet husband, and he couldn't get rid of him, so he had to basically send him to the front lines and get it, you know, he had him killed. He murdered him. Amen. But God, praise the Lord, knew that even though those actions came forth in that life, that was still a man after God's own heart. Now, how could that be? How could that be? Because of one thing. The Lord always blesses his word. Read the Psalms. Read David's song. He might have been very ornery, very disobedient at a time, trying to ignore something. But you read those Psalms that were singing through his heart. He held the word of God dear. It was still the treasure of his life. That wasn't who he was in Christ. We know these things. And I'm not making lightly of our mistakes, brothers and sisters. But we're talking about, again, God. And God looks on the heart. And if you want to get bent out of shape, if you want to, you know, fight against the word of God, I'm just telling you, don't do it. Divine grace, praise the Lord, is what it is. It's just divine. It's incredible. But there's one thing I'm going to tell you something. Even though the failures and indiscretions of man have never been too great to overcome God's best, when you leave the strong meat, when your love waxes cold, when you no longer hold fast the crown of glory and grace, unless that is corrected, there's no way. There's no way to win God's best. There isn't. It has to be, praise the Lord, a fully purposed life. And that's what goes on here in verse 10. I want you to notice. It says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. And again, this all flows from love first. You love the Lord, you'll cleave unto the truth. You love the Lord, praise God, the good comes through our lives. And praise God, you love the Lord, you'll be kindly affectionate one to another. See, we don't just put up with or tolerate one another. We love one another. And we love one way, and we love in the Word of God. And we love as one body, as brethren, as those, praise God, that have gone to the heights in this. It says in Psalm 133:1, it says, how good and pleasant, that means beautiful, is it for the brethren to dwell together in unity. And what that means, dwell there, that means to settle down in marriage. How wonderful. See, that's how God wants us dwelling. See, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus is all through this 12th chapter. This isn't just practical stuff. This is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is when you yield your life to God. This is the transformation, praise the Lord, of Christ in you right now. This is that precious growth, hallelujah, from glory to glory into the very image of him. And the evidence of it is you long for the assembling with like precious faith saints, the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus runners. And true brotherly love prefers the other before self. See, his love in our lives is never self-serving. The Philadelphia love is the love that is shed abroad in our hearts. It's the love that was shed abroad in Brother Paul's life. Think about what he said about Israel. He loved Israel, even though they were being so ornery, his people and all of those different things. He wanted them to turn to God. His love, you think, for Timothy and Epaphroditus, how he wanted that fellowship in the deep things of God. It was so proven over and over. His love and the grief when the ones that had a passion for the Lord, like Demas, had turned away. That's the love of God. That's the love, praise the Lord, that motivates us and empowers us, brothers and sisters, and encourages us on in Jesus Christ. But see, we get caught up into other things that we think are so important, so vital. Relationships that are so meaningless. It is the truth. God help us. I've said this many times, and I pray this encourages you, because it so gripped my heart. See, when you're truly married or going to get married, and I don't mean this in any shameful way at all, but you don't marry somebody's brain. You understand what I'm saying? You don't just marry a head. And then you don't marry somebody just for their body either. It doesn't work. You get the whole package. You get the head and the body. Well, let me ask you something. It says that the head of this body is Jesus Christ. And the body, praise the Lord, is his saints. Now, if you're truly going to wed him, you can't just take the head. It has to be the body as well. So I thank the Lord as he's dealt with my heart. There can't be any dissimulation in that love. Now, I understand who our head is. Don't get me wrong. But the love of Christ in you, by God's grace, because it's the life of Christ in you, there should be no difference in that love. There should be no difference in that love. And I thank God, precious hearts, because this is exactly where the Lord is encouraging our hearts. These are the ones that are going to win him. If you love a brother or sister in Christ any different way, you won't love them, because it's not perfect love. It's not going to be the love that doesn't fail. And I thank God this is the love that he gives us. And it goes on to say, and we'll close this out here. It says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now, this is all continues from this precious love. And by God's grace, I hope we understand this. Slothful in business has nothing to do about your employment. Slothful in business means exactly this, not sluggish. And this is the truth. This is your translation. It's not sluggish in being fully purposed. That's what it means. Don't be sluggish. Don't let down in being fully purposed. Run. Run well. Fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Don't be weary in the testing. Don't be weary in the calling. Don't get caught up even in the myrrh. But just look to his wonderful face. That's why fervent in spirit follows this. Because, brothers and sisters, fervent, that passionate, delirious panting, man, we need the Holy Ghost, don't we? Do you think you're just going to ride along? You know, there's a lot of people, and I appreciate it. We want to come to Bible study. We need Bible study. We need to hear the Word of God. We need to be encouraged in the Word of God. But you need that worship to flow through in your life as well, too. That worship is everything. It's hearing the Word of God as well, too. But when we pray, we need to pray in the Holy Ghost. You need to, again, be a vessel that he's just playing all the time, playing across the strings of your heart. We need this encouragement in our lives. If we think that we're somehow going to just bear down on this and kind of just grit our teeth and get through this and, oh, I'm going to win God's best and, you know, and then finally you'll be holing yourself up all alone in your house and you don't even think you need to go to church or fellowship with the people of God or anything of that nature. And you won't find that in the Word of God. You'll have a heart that doesn't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You'll have a heart that wants to run every time the doors of the meeting are open. Yes, to hear the word of God, but yes, to be around the people that love his appearing. And yes, praise the Lord, to come together, even can you imagine, and to worship together. How beautiful these things are. But this is the evidence of, again, Christ growing up into us in all things. And by God's grace, may we yield to this great love and get in the Word and to be on our knees in worship. And here we go. Let God open you up. Don't shut it down, brothers and sisters, or say somehow it's enough. It's never enough. It's a Galilee, isn't it? Just be a sea, praise the Lord, ever receiving from him. A vessel, praise God, that wineskin that's ever increasing. When we shut down, when we quit, in a sense, when we think, well, I know enough. I've got it all. I'm just fine. Those are real signs that... Let's just go back to the very beginning where he talks about humility. God gives grace to the humble. And that's the truth. And in that humbling, brothers and sisters, just that thankfulness. And I thank God that he'll do it. And he'll perform these things in us. This isn't a how-to or what we're trying to be. Remember, it's be ye transformed. This is the life of Christ in you. But it comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. It comes by truly stepping out in faith. And that's oftentimes very against our comfort zone. Very against what we think I am. Let me tell you something. You are a vessel to the praise of the glory of his grace. You're a vessel that, as the word of God says, rejoice, O my soul, and again I say rejoice. Bless the Lord, or praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Brothers and sisters, this is who we are. And I thank God for that. And I've seen it in people's lives. And we're talking about marriage now. We're talking about, again, as Christ is wooing those that are going to take his hand in marriage. We thank the Lord that he's given us those signs. I've seen some very quiet people courting and getting together with different ones and everything. But there comes a time when you're truly in love. There's nothing that you can hold it down. It just bursts on out. It's time. It truly is. Let it burst forth. Let it burst forth. That's what the Holy Ghost does. That's what the Holy Ghost will do in your life. That's why it's so important. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. You have to be. And be full of the Holy Ghost. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't just put it off to think that that's... Let me tell you something. Speaking those mysteries to the Father. I love when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of my tongue. And I speak those mysteries to the Father about how wonderful his Son is. How much I love his Son. How I'm enamored with his Son. How I want to see his Son. How thankful I am to him that he has given me freely his Son. That's the transformation power. That's what's in this 12th chapter. That's who's in you. Huh? That's who's in you. That's who is in me. And it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise God. Let's bow our heads here and I'll dismiss us tonight. I'm encouraged in the Lord. Father, we thank you again for your precious encouragement to us. Lord, again, may we just be vessels that really just call out to you, God, open our hearts. You have to open our hearts, but you're ready to do it. Lord, help ones take the top off of their life tonight. God, help us not to be stingy with the things of Christ. It doesn't matter the age here tonight. We don't have much time. And I thank God for this great mercy and truth that you've given to us, Lord. And help us to make the move. Help us to come boldly, Lord God. And oh, the goodness and the riches, Lord Jesus. Strengthen us in the boldness for you. And that's only going to come through love. But help us to not be ashamed and to trust your word fully. You bless your word. And yes, we're going into battles and we're always going to be into battles. But Lord, you said you've won it. You've caused us to be more than conquerors through you who loves us. Help us to step out in faith and trust you tonight. God, encourage your people. Break the strongholds, Lord God. Break down these walls tonight. In Jesus' name, whom he has made free is free indeed. Help us to mount up with the wings of eagle this evening, Lord God. Whatever it may be, your word is true. Your word is all powerful. Hallelujah for the word of God. And we give you the praise and the thanks and the honor. Oh, and soon face to face in Jesus' name. Amen.